All right. I'll try to reach, control my cravings. Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
Great to see you. We have a volunteer appreciation, and that's Tamara. And I didn't see Tamara this morning. She may not be here yet. But here's the thing. She does the nursery, but she does the coffee. And we take that so for granted, don't we? We just go on over there and pour a cup of coffee and go. And it's not a fun job. Maybe you can have fun doing it or something like that. But she's been so consistent at doing that. And so when you see her, will you thank her? Especially if you go over to this corner and get coffee, thank her for it, will you? And encourage her, because she probably needs it. All right. Okay, let's go to our time of silent prayer. Let's pray for our open heart. Pray for me, will you, while I'm preaching this sermon, because I keep changing the sermon in my head. It's one of those things that keeps going. So anyhow, if you will pray for me as well, I'd appreciate it. And then I'll be back for prayer requests. Let's pray. Father, just open our hearts this morning. Lord, use your words in my mouth this morning. If you have a prayer request, just raise your hand. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for all these with their hand up. Lord, hear our cry this morning. Lord, whatever you can do for us in this futile world, we just pray for your grace and your peace and any answer that can be given to help us through. In Jesus' name, amen. So I've got a question for you this morning. What is your ultimate focus as a Christian? What is your ultimate focus as a Christian? You know, we can come up with 100 different goals from the Bible, like loving God and others and leading people to Christ, giving to the poor, exercising your spiritual gift, participating in special ministries around the church or in our community, and the list goes on. But I'm not talking about serving God in the present or our current daily or spiritual goals. But what do we believe from the Word of God is our ultimate personal focus? What is our ultimate purpose? I didn't even drink an extra latte, you know. Okay, let me start over here. But what do you believe from the Word of God is our ultimate personal focus? What is the motivation for us to live out this life? And I'm asking that question because God has left us in an evil world, and he has to have an excellent reason for it, right? Or otherwise he'd have taken us out. And so what is that motivation that we need? So let's read our scripture for today. I'm going to read the underline. You read the non-underline. Grace to you and peace
from God,
the Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins,
that he might
deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of God the Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Boy, the glory does reside with him, doesn't it?
Yes.
What a great God we have. So this morning, I want us to clearly understand Paul's statement of being delivered from this present evil age. We can easily assume that Paul is talking about the Holy Spirit helping us out during this present evil age, but I don't believe that's part of what he's talking about. But let me clarify, and I want to just take that little portion in verse 3 or 4, okay? That he might deliver us from or rescue or pick or pluck us out of this present current evil age according to the will of our God and Father. His ultimate desire is to take us out of this evil world, even though we're in it. And this evil age, as he says, is from Adam to now, and will continue in the future until he comes. When we hear the phrase present evil age, we must admit that we are kind of desensitized in our evil society, aren't we? I mean, we catch ourselves really buying into a lot of what's going on in the world. We have to stop and think about this. I mean, think about it for a minute. How many daily murders are there in the world? I don't even know that number if we added them all up. Or beatings, wife beatings and husband beatings. People always think it's wife beatings. That's 70%, 30% or the wives beat the husbands. Okay. Killings, rapes, children and teens being molested, daily robberies, unsolved crimes. I always laugh because on TV they always solve them, right? So it's like, oh, if anybody commits anything, no, that's not real life. Police are evil, right? In our society now, the police are the evil ones. And parents are scared for their children, taking them to school and back. Political correctness steers our society. Politicians grabbing for power. There is no time like the present that we see that happening. Sexual deviance is honored in today's hero, and they become today's heroes, right? Biblical beliefs are considered hate crimes. Teen rebellion against authority is expected. Parents are dishonored. Discipline is considered wrong. Deceit, paybacks, men designing evil. You know, Jeremiah 17:5 always comes to my mind. Cursed is the man who trusts in men. And it's hard because the only one, who is it that we can trust in that's a man? Jesus Christ, right? But listen to me. Believers from Adam and Eve to the present have fought the same evil. It's nothing new under the sun now. It's been going on since the beginning. And here's the good news. Jesus promises us deliverance from this evil. What a day that will be. He's going to take us completely out of this evil age to be with him in heaven. And Paul has stated the ultimate focus we must hold on to in this present evil age. Man, I am getting screwed up here. One more prayer for me, okay? Okay. Paul is stating the ultimate focus that we've got to hold on to living in this evil age and in order to survive it. The Apostle Paul was hoping for this deliverance himself. When you read his epistles, he's thinking that any time it's going to happen in his lifetime, and 2,000 years later, it hasn't happened. Sorry, Paul. Instead, he lost his head when he's around 70 years old. And we've been given the grace, our freedom, and the peace with God, the peace and calm hearts through prayer and thanksgiving in our not-so-joyful circumstances. So I kind of want to make this point again. God has us in this evil world for a reason. Otherwise, he would have taken us out the moment we trusted Christ, right? Amen? And so we have to think about that. And here is our current hope. We've been given this grace. We've been given access through prayer and thanksgiving. And we can pray about our circumstances. We talked about that last week. But he's made grace and peace available to us through the Lord Jesus Christ during these evil times. and He's given us a future in heaven. And it's with this heavenly focus that we who have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior at some point will ultimately be delivered from this evil age. And so God is going to deliver us out of, is the word, this world as we know it. And we will be done with it. That's a nice thought, isn't it? We'll be done with it. Praise be to Him. I want you to praise Him on the fifth verse and read it out loud with me. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, and we can't see the whole picture, can we? We can only see our little picture and our little troubles and all that goes on. And God has a reason. And we look at that and all we can do is praise Him. And we as Christians are to have that focus on this future deliverance. Listen to this nugget in Colossians 3, 1 through 3. We're studying it in our beginning theology class, and I think I just brought this up a few sermons ago. But Paul says this in 3:1. If then you were raised with Christ. Okay? Now, the original language, when it has an if then, assumes that it's a true statement. So we could say this: since you were raised with Christ. And we were raised with Christ. We were died with Christ. We were buried with Christ. And we are risen with Him. And so now we have newness of life. He's given us newness of life. We have the Holy Spirit. And so He says this: since you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. And it literally could say this: look up to what you desire. Look up to what you desire. Where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God, set your mind or dwell on the things above, not on things on the earth. For you died with Christ, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You know, in our beginning theology class this last week, the question was asked, what does it mean to be hidden in Christ? I want to take a look at Psalms 17, 8, and 9. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Now, this is King David talking. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Are we the apple of His eye?
Yes.
Yes, we are. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. From the wicked who oppress me, from my daily enemies who surround me. And as we begin to open our eyes, we don't have this same issue. He hides us, or we do have the same issue. He hides us. We are secure in Him. No matter what happens in this life, He helps us from participating in the wicked age. He gives us the mind of Christ to resist evil because we also are the apple of His eye. So verse 3 says this: for you died and your life was hidden with Christ in God. And then look at 4. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. That's a crazy promise. He's our life. We aren't our life. He's our life. Once we accept Christ and we die in Him and we are risen with Him, He is our life. And we keep taking it back and making our life our life. So this morning, let's explore this catching up or plucking up, this departure, this promise of appearing with Him in glory, because it's the ultimate focus. Titus 2:13. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Looking for what?
Blessed.
The blessed hope. And you know, in the Bible, hope means expectation. Because if God hopes them, it's going to come to pass, right? And so looking for that blessed expectation and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. So what is our ultimate hope? Jesus Christ appearing to take us with him back to heaven and get out of this evil world. Because our real home is in heaven, right? Do you know that? Where's your citizenship? Heaven. Listen to this. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. Wow, I can't wait. You know, as you get older, you really can't wait. When you're young, you're stupid, and you think, hey, I've got it all together, right? And it doesn't quite work that way, does it? Man, the reoccurring theme of glory, glory, glory. Then when we look at Jesus Christ coming, it's all about glory. In a point in time in which Jesus comes to fulfill his promise, whether it's tomorrow or today or when it is in the future, he returns into clouds and he yells out our name and the archangel screams and we hear a trumpet and boom, we're gone. God's had enough of it. And he'll take us all to be with him forever and ever and ever. Boy, it's hard to conceive of that, isn't it? And according to this passage that we just read in Titus, we will see all of his glory unfold in front of us. Now, let me do the comparison. We look at Moses, and Moses is up on Mount Sinai, and he asks the Lord, can I see your glory? He didn't even know what he's asking for, right? And so God said, you know what? I can give mercy to who mercy and that kind of thing. And he says, yes, I'll do it. He said, but I'm going to put my hand over your eye, and when I pass by, and my glory's receding, I will take my hand off your eyes and you can look at it. Because if he saw God's glory, it would have killed him instantly. And so Moses stands in this crack in the rock, the cleft in the rock, and God puts his hand over his eyes and he marches past and the angels are singing and all that kind of thing. And he gets past and he gets done. And Moses sees his rescinding little bit of glory. And I think what's interesting about that story is when he came down from the mountain, his face shone so bright from that little tiny bit of glory that he had to wear a cloth because it was scaring the Israelites to death. They didn't want to look on Moses because of the brightness. But we will see his full glory. Because our bodies will be changed so that we can endure his glory and splendor and bright appearance. Now think about that for a second. Gosh, I can't even imagine in my mind what that would be like. So let's look at the departure, this rapture that we call it. You know, when I was little, I used to hear that teaching. You know, when my parents started going to church And in my little town, we went to the local Baptist church, and they would talk about the rapture. And I was young, and so it really sounded exciting to me. I thought, man, I am ready to go, right, with this. And it was taught all the time, but I don't know, in the more modern days, I don't hear it that much. And there's arguments as to whether there's a rapture or whatever, this kind of thing. It all seems to kind of get washed away, and we lose our ultimate focus, folks. Maybe I was young and adventurous, and maybe it isn't like I see it. But whatever the reason, we need to remind each other what the ultimate focus is, right? That's what keeps us in line. It doesn't keep us in line serving day by day, witnessing, whatever it may be. It is the fact that he's coming to take us home. But whatever the reason, we need to remind each other that we're going to be caught up with Christ and live with him forever. So listen, you and I are going to be plucked up. Plucked up. He's to the sky. Out of this evil, unredeemable world at this point. Forever. And ever. That's our ultimate focus. We will no longer be immigrants, and I even like to think of myself as an illegal immigrant, because in this foreign, evil age, I want to be deported. Right? I want to be deported. I want to go back to my country that exists and God has prepared for us, that we are citizens of. You know, I love this verse in Ephesians 4:30. It says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you and I were sealed unto the day of redemption." The day Christ comes for us. 1 Corinthians 15:52 says, "In a moment, an instant, a flash, in the twinkling, a blink of the eye." Now, what is the twinkling of an eye, you might ask? Well, for instance, there's times when you may be talking with someone, a good friend or your mate. I know this always happens to Debbie and I, and we'll get into a rich discussion, and we're talking, and all of a sudden there's this, like, spark. Do you know what I'm talking about? All of a sudden there's this spark and it's like, whoa. Or maybe it's like a quick blink when we wet or clear our eyes. Or a flash of a camera that makes you blink. Or a flash or reflection from a shiny object. In this moment, this instant, in the twinkling or the blink of an eye, at the final trump, which means they're going to be trumpeting for a while. I just have a feeling the whole earth will hear it. Right? And then he calls your name. And he says, "For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible," means no longer in this corrupted body, "and we who are remaining shall be changed." Just like that. And so we hear these shouts and these trumpets and the voice of the archangel, and thank God we're out. Right? I mean, isn't that how you're going to feel? I mean, all these investments we have in life and all these kind of things. Who cares? Who cares? Because the real thing is, our faith becomes reality. This crummy, weak faith that we have is enough to carry us off into the sky. And I think when that happens, we're going to be able to say to each other, "Ah, it's finally over. It's finally over." Our struggle, our weak faith has become reality, and it will be over for us, folks. Just as we read in Colossians 4:4, it says, "When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." That's a promise from God, sealed by the Holy Spirit. It's an unconditional promise made by God himself. And it's what we've been waiting for. Because in Romans 8, it talks about our, listen to this about our body. "Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Do you know that you groan inside all the time waiting for this body to be changed into the spiritual body that's just like Christ's? And we see Jesus, after he is crucified, dies and rides again, and he does all these miraculous things, and the disciples sometimes don't even know who he is because his looks have changed so much. And then we see him in the brightness of his glory. And I think it's a time of celebration, don't you? A time for us to examine our hearts, to not only see what is our ultimate focus, but to see how to live now, expecting this coming event, because he is coming. That's the ultimate focus. And it comes, you know, I love this in 2 Peter, the Apostle Peter pins down, and he says this: therefore, since all these things shall be dissolved, and God's going to completely destroy this earth and make a new earth. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Isn't that the response? So here's our ultimate hope. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. You know what? I can't wait to see my faith come to reality. Are you waiting too?
Yes.
Because you can do whatever you want on this earth, but that is our hope. Right? Sorry, I'm pointing the wrong way, aren't I? That is our hope. And so the question is, like Colossians says, are we looking up? That's the original language. Are we looking up to those things in heaven rather than those things on earth? That focus keeps us going through this evil age, and it isn't our responsibility to try to correct it, because we can't. Do you hear me this morning? We read in there, we're fools to trust in men, Jeremiah. Let's concentrate on what God wants us to concentrate. You hear that this morning? Let's pray. Father, we come this morning. We can't wait for that event. Lord, whether we have passed on and we come up out of the grave, or whether we are there and we are changed, you are going to pull us up into there with your angels and the people who have died and gone on, and now their bodies are going to be matched together, our bodies are going to be changed, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord. And then you say, comfort one another with these words. So Lord, help us to comfort each other. Help us to remind each other, where is our focus? Where is our focus? Our heads are bowed. You may come this morning and you may not have a relationship with God. Let me talk to you for a second. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's standards, and the wages of that sin is death. But he goes on to say, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:9 tells us how we can have that relationship. He says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So my friends, if you're hearing this and you think today is the day you would really like to give your life over to Christ, I'm going to pray a little prayer, and you can pray it along with me. And the prayer goes like this: Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and life and be the Lord, the master of my life. I believe that you rose from the dead, just as that verse said, and because of it, you rose from the dead for me too. So come into my life and save me today. And may I live for you. I surrender my life to you. While heads are still bowed, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, will you raise your hand, put it back down, let us begin to pray for you. Anybody this morning, make that decision. Just raise your hand up, put it back down. Anybody? Father, we thank you this morning for your love for us and your care for us. Boy, we can't wait for that day, Lord, when we can let go of this earth and be in heaven as citizens, your citizens, Lord, where we meet everybody from Adam till now. All those people, Abraham, Moses, Paul, Peter, but the real core is Christ. We can't wait to meet you in that day. So Lord, until then, help us to keep our focus on where it should be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.